From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. We appreciate you being with us for today's program, and in just a few minutes, you'll be hearing a message from God's Word as brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For a number of months, Dr. Cairns has been bringing studies in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, he concludes part one of a two-part message entitled, A Glimpse of the Glory of Christ, dealing with our Lord's Transfiguration. In drawing this message to a conclusion, Dr. Cairns emphasizes that the answer to facing the greatest difficulties in life is to get a sight of Christ. First of all, Dr. Cairns addresses today's hot topic, revealing the connection between the Pope and the chief financier of Islamic terrorism.
Saudi Arabia is without doubt the chief financier of worldwide Islamic terrorism. Take away Saudi money and you cut the lifeline of most Islamic terrorists. Saudi Arabia has for years exported the most extreme form of Wahhabi Islam and has poured millions of dollars into the establishment of schools committed to spreading radical Islam in Muslim countries. Leading Saudi families contribute huge amounts of money to Muslim terrorists. Even the country's chief justice, the man in charge of terrorist trials, is on record as encouraging Saudi Arabian terrorists to go to Iraq. In 2004, he said, "Entering Iraq has become risky now. It requires avoiding those evil satellites and those drone aircraft, which own every corner of the skies over Iraq. If someone knows that he's capable of entering Iraq in order to join the fight, and if his intention is to raise up the word of God, then he is free to do so." When the Saudi king visited the United Kingdom recently, he was taken aback by the number of questions about his country and Muslim terrorism. He likes to promote himself as a liberal innovator, a real social reformer. If building skyscrapers is the measure of reformation, then he's undoubtedly a reformer. But if such things as shutting off the money from Al-Qaeda or stopping the flow of Muslim fighters to cause mayhem in Iraq figure in the matter, the Saudi king is the Muslim sovereign of death. On a recent visit to Rome, the Saudi king went to see the Pope. Perhaps you saw the picture of them holding each other's hands and gazing intently into each other's eyes. The meeting, according to the press, was to explore ways of mutual understanding. In reality, the whole thing was a photo op for both the Pope and the king. The Pope always wants to appear as a man of peace. Forget about his easy ties with the German Nazis. The conscience and the moral compass of the world. The Saudi king welcomed the papal photo op because it allowed him the chance to appear in the Western press as a benign figure, a man we can all really trust. But why should we trust a man who presides over a worldwide web of terrorism? That the Pope should appear with him is par for the course. The Vatican's no friend of this country on any level, and certainly not in its war on terror. Pope Benedict's cozy chat with the monarch of the world's leading supporter of Islamofascism is his latest attempt to repair the damage he caused when he, for once, said something true about Islam to the effect that it has an ugly and bloody history. He has met with Muslim clerics and has been on a public relations blitz for months now. And this meeting with the Saudi king is just the latest step in that campaign. If cozying up to the Saudi king is the price of his rehabilitation. He will not worry too much. The man who could be at home with the Nazis will have no problems with a Muslim king. As I say, it's all par for the course. I'd expect nothing better from the Pope. It would not worry him that, as the Times of London reported, in the past, the Saudis openly supported Islamic militants. Osama bin Laden was originally treated as a favourite son of the regime and feted as a hero for fighting the Soviets in Afghanistan. Huge charitable organisations such as the International Islamic Relief Organization and the Al-Haramayn Foundation, accused in American court documents of having links to extremist groups, flourished, sometimes with patronage from senior Saudi royals. So said the Times of London. And now one of those royals has found a welcome in the Vatican. Remember the old saying, birds of a feather flock together.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Never, no matter what we go through in this life, we will never have an experience like having to stand at the cross. But we are going to go through dark days. We are going to go through them. We have the dark day of apostasy where we see Christ put to an open shame, even by those who name his name. We have the dark days of the complete disemboweling of what was once a Christian society to now make it a foul and filthy thing. That's what we have got to. I detest Muslim terrorism with all my heart, and I would make no excuse for it whatsoever. But I would say this, it is an indication of how absolutely hellish this society has got when a heathen religion can make as its excuse for its actions the decadent morals that America is pouring like a sewer pipe into the world. And why we reject the religion that makes the accusation, and we oppose the terrorism that it spawns, let us not fool ourselves that there's an awful lot of truth in the criticism. We have seen this society disemboweled of everything decent, and it's as rotten and filthy and ripe for the judgment of a holy God as any society since Sodom has ever been. As Christians, we see that and we say it's a dark day. And then we have the dark days of our own lives. We have people in this church at the moment who are fighting for life. And for them it's a dark day. Every one of us, if we live long enough, are going to face sickness and suffering and loneliness and death. Don't hide behind your youth. For I've seen young people in this place of affliction right beside the old. Don't blind yourself and say it'll never happen to me. For man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We are going to face dark days. The Lord Jesus has given to us what He gave to His disciples. He has given us a preview of His glory. He has emphasized His victory. He has shown us His exaltation. Paul says, let me quote him again, we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. We have seen the end of the story. We have understood from His Word and by the witness of His Spirit the end of the story. Let us therefore learn the lesson and not repeat the error of Christ's disciples. We have a glorious Savior. Let us bow to Him, follow Him, serve Him. And even though we suffer, let us remember we will reign with Him in glory, because He reigns in glory. Remember what I said from Hebrews 12:2, the sight of the glory in Mount Hermon strengthened the body and soul of the Lord Jesus Christ for the sufferings to come. It was because of the joy that was set before Him. It was an account of seeing the glory, the end, the exaltation, the reward. It was because of the glory that was set before Him that He endured the cross and had strength to despise the shame. That's how we also will get the strength to endure. In a day of apostasy, how are we going to stay right? By getting a sight of Christ. In a day of the disintegration of society and the morals that held this society together, how are we going to stay upright? By a sight of Christ. In a day of personal suffering, physical agony, mental depression, loneliness, struggling with death, working in our members, how will we remain faithful? Through a sight of Christ. As we leave this morning, I want you to take with you the exhortation of Hebrews 12, those first three verses. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Oh, it's so easy to say that. But what are the weights you're carrying with you? What are the buckets of worldliness that you're trying to carry with you as you're seeking to run the race of life? What are the weights? You can't run while you're carrying weights. You lay us. Did you ever see an Olympic sprinter walk to the line with a bucket of water in each hand? Did you ever see him even bring a little training weight with him? Never. I never forget a Scottish swimmer swimming in the Olympic Games in the semi-final. He made himself ready and right to win that heat. But he kept one thing back, because he knew if he was going to win because of an Australian opponent, it would be by a hundredth of a second. They were so close. So between the final and the semi-final and the final, he took a razor. And he was a very fair-haired fellow, and so there was a little fuzz in the arm, a little fuzz in the body, and it was all shaved off, that there was not left a single hair to drag him back in the water. And that's what made the difference. He did win, literally, by a hair's breadth. Lay aside every weight. Every weight. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. The idea there, remember that in the East they wore long robes. The idea there is of anything that would get between your legs and trip you up. Anything that would make it easy to stumble. Get rid of it. Don't toy with it. Don't play with it. Don't put up with it. Don't come to terms with it. If you're serious about going on with God, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. With patience. The idea of patience in the New Testament, the word simply means endurance. The Christian life is a marathon, not a sprint. It's a marathon. I always remember my old English Bible teacher, J. Kyle Paisley, telling me, and I had to get it because I was his only student at the time, and he used to say, young man, remember, it's not how you start out the race that counts, it's how you finish. That's what counts. It's a marathon. We don't like to think of that. I don't know if you read the most important part of the Greenville News every day or not. I do. I make sure I read the funnies because it makes a lot more sense than most of the editorial section, which, well, I'll not get into that. There's a cartoon there called Foxtrot. And the husband in that home has decided he's going to run a marathon. He's going to run a marathon. First thing he does, buy the most expensive shoes. That makes you feel good. I'm really running this race well. I've got the equipment. How true to life this is. And he comes in absolutely, as we would say in Northern Ireland, pancrocked. If you don't know what pancrocked is, he's completely wiped out, obliterated. Eyes sitting out his head, sweat lashing off him, and he makes the comment about how difficult it is to start training for a marathon. His son asks him, how far did you actually run? Well, he says, every race has to start with a step. Well, how far did you actually run? What didn't I tell you? A step. I don't know how the cartoonist will finish it, but if he's going to be true to life, he will certainly work it out that the simple thought or purpose to run a marathon will end up being the equivalent of doing it without ever doing a thing. That's how Christians live the Christian life. We're called to a marathon. Some of us take a step. My, what we have done. I was in prayer meeting last week. Let the bells of heaven ring. I read my New Testament last year. Let God jump for joy. We take a step. But this is a marathon. Run with endurance. How do you run with endurance? Looking off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down in the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. How are you going to get the endurance? Catch a glimpse of the glory of Christ. We have a Savior who lived and earned heaven. We have a Savior who died and put away every obstacle to our entering into heaven, removing sin and satisfying the wrath of God against it. We have a Savior who rose from the dead and is set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Look unto him. Look to him if you want to be saved. I want you to understand this. If you want to be saved, look to him. That's how Spurgeon was saved. He heard the message, look unto me. If you're saved, you want strength to endure. Look unto Him. If you're going through darkness and even facing death, look unto Him. May the Lord indeed be pleased to give us a glimpse of the glory of Christ.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.